Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 46 degrees under sunny skies. Today is Friday, May 9th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. The case of a former Sitka school administrator accused of sexual assault is headed to trial next week. In a brief hearing Thursday, Juneau defense attorney Julie Willoughby told Sitka Superior Court Judge David George that her client, Joe Robidoux, was ready to go to trial. Robidoux was indicted in January 2013 on 5 counts of sexual assault against female staff members in Sitka's Blatchley Middle School, where he was principal at the time. Robidoux was transferred to the district office while the case was under investigation. He resigned following his indictment. Assistant District Attorney Jean Seaton is prosecuting the case. Asked by George if the state was ready for trial, she responded, "Yes, Your Honor, we are ready." Jury selection is scheduled to begin Monday, May 12th in Sitka. Two of the greatest living scholars on Sitka's Russian and Tlingit past were in town last week to train National Park Rangers on the historic battles that took place here. Park Rangers give programs, of course, but sometimes they'll interact with visitors for only a few minutes at a time. So the challenge is, how do you teach visitors about the culture in a way that will have impact when the most commonly asked question is, where's the bathroom? KCAW's Emily Foreman rode along for some park ranger training and sent this story.
I'm on a bus tour. All the passengers are trained historical interpreters, and the tour guides are the leading scholars on the topic. They literally wrote the book.
One of the earliest recordings of the history is from Sally Hopkins, and her daughter asked Nora if she would transcribe and translate this.
Nora and Dick Downhower are the authors of Russians in Tlingit America, the definitive work on the battles of 1802 and 1804. The bus stops in Old Sitka.
Is this good?
Yes, thank you.
It's just a patch of grass near the ferry terminal. But in 1802, it was where Tlingit warriors attacked the Russian fort.
This is Dick, and Nora is right there in the blue sweater.
Hello. Hi.
I like workers. Your book.
Thank you.
I make all my staff read it.
I think it's a good one, and I'm glad it's in there because my memory isn't what it used to be, so at least it's all in there now.
The Downhowers are in town to advise Sitka Park Rangers how to reinterpret the history for transient cruise ship passengers that know nothing about it. Nora is Tlingit and a native speaker of the language.
The way we got into this is I was teaching Tlingit in Juneau High School, and I got this letter from a professor.
Dick was the professor. He admired her work.
As they say, the rest is history. We've just been partners in scholarship for over 40 years, and we had our 40th anniversary in November.
Somewhere along the line, they got married.
Still doing business at the same old stand, but it was a little slower than we used to be.
While the relationship was always solid, the making of Russians in Tlingit America was an on-again, off-again kind of affair.
But the first issue that came up to us in doing this book was, who owns history?
Nora was asked to translate Tlingit oral histories recounting the battles, but then native elders didn't want to rehash the past, which put the book on hold. When elders died, the new generation wanted to know the history. Then the Soviet Union crumbled, freeing up access to Russian archives. It took decades of cultural and political change before they could complete the book.
So these are difficult issues, and I think it's important to kind of be upfront that this is living history. This is not something that just happened 200 years ago, but people are very aware of that here.
Sitkins might be very aware of the history, but tourists from Idaho? The challenge is getting visitors to care. I asked second season tour guide Janet Drake about her approach.
So much research and so many different sources, combination of written and oral history, and then you have to synthesize this for a group of tourists that
Nothing about this place. And
how do you do that?
I know, it's that's the challenge. Finding those pieces that hit home for people.
What's like the most common question you get?
Where's the bathroom? Just kidding. But actually, that's kind of serious.
Chief of Interpretation Becky Latanich is always thinking about how to make the history relatable.
think visitors have a hard time relating to this story. They come here and they don't know anything about it, and they think Sitka and they think totem poles. But then the battle's a little difficult for people because it's not well known, it's not Gettysburg. So do you have any suggestions for our staff about what themes you've encountered that people might be able to relate to?
My take on this is it's sort of like the Alamo or Midway, where the real estate is not all that significant, but whoever controlled Sitka controlled the whole Northwest Coast fur trade. And, you know, if you've got a flair for the dramatic, you can reinterpret for the tourists. Here you imagine Katyn coming down and the Russians, and they're on the beach and they're landing, and then all of a sudden the Russians are behind them, and here's Katyn with his hammer, because it's easier to bash heads in than it is to stick a dagger in and pull a dagger out. And
while engaging tourists is one thing, retelling the story in a way that's respectful of the families that have a personal connection to the history is another. Some parts of this history are so sensitive that the Downhowers were actually asked to omit some of the details, and they did because that's the respectful thing to do.
And that's, of course, the challenge of ethnohistory, is that you are dealing with families and with the family memories, family traditions.
The idea that family history is complicated, most people, even out-of-town visitors, can relate to that. In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
Wrangell fishermen are getting their gear ready for the start of their King Salmon Derby. It begins Saturday, earlier than most. But it's not the first of Alaska's many fishing contests. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld filed this report on Southeast Derby plans for the summer.
Organizers say things are looking good for this year's Wrangell King Salmon Derby. Now, organizers are always optimistic, but this year, they've got evidence.
I've just been seeing some pictures on Facebook, people already out there catching fish, so I think it's going to be a great year.
Cindy Waddington runs the Derby for Wrangell's Chamber of Commerce. The organization promises more than $30,000 in prizes for contestants. They range from $6,000 for the overall biggest Chinook to smaller prizes for youth and seniors. Not all winners get cash.
One of the local native artists, Rhea Designs, does a sterling silver salmon bracelet for the woman that catches the biggest fish in the Derby, and that's very popular.
Wrangell's Salmon Derby runs through the first week in June. Ketchikan, Sitka, Haines, and Petersburg have derbies over the Memorial Day weekend. Ketchikan continues for two more weekends, Haines and Sitka for one. Skagway's Game Fish Derby is near the end of June, and Craig and Klawak have one running this and next month, with another starting in July. Juneau has two large derbies, and one is already underway.
It seems like the run is just fantastic this year. I don't hear anybody complaining about long rod hours. It's just everybody's catching.
That's Leslie Asturis, organizer of the Capital City's Spring King Salmon Derby. It's a project of the Regional Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. Proceeds go to scholarships. The contest runs all of this month, and the prize for the top fish is $10,000. Asturis says other payouts are a little different from last year.
Rather than have a lot of the money in the regular prize listing, we went ahead and split it up between daily and weekly prizes.
Juneau's longest-running derby, the Golden North, runs the second weekend in August. Many derby prizes are goods and services rather than cash. Wrangell's Waddington says that's part of the fun.
We actually get lots of prizes from the community, you know, our local businesses, for the Derby Award night, and we basically just go down the ladder from the largest weight. I think last year, everybody who entered a fish got a prize of some sort.
What sort of things do they donate?
It can be anything from a barbecue to a fishing pole. What else?
Haircut.
Tlingit Haida's Derby has its own collection of prizes donated by individuals and businesses. Asturis says there's even a mystery prize this year, donated by two local carvers.
He gave me a check inside an envelope, and he said, we'll let you know about halfway through what the weight is. They won't even tell me.
The derbies help merchants sell fishing gear, groceries, and other important supplies, such as beer. Wrangell's Waddington says they also promote tourism.
There's a good number of people who come from, you know, other places in Alaska, but there's definitely a good number of people who come from the lower 48 as well that make this one of their travel destinations to come fishing.
Anglers should have a better chance to catch the big one this year. The resident bag limit is 3 kings a day, 28 inches or larger, with no annual limit. That's up from 1 a day in 2013. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
You can find links to the derbies on our website, kcaw.org. And state ferry service to Skagway resumes on Sunday. Alaska Marine Highway ferries have not been running to Skagway since the ferry dock sank there on April 24th. The state was able to contract with a marine salvage and repair company out of Juneau, and the dock was refloated a few days later. Since then, the company has been inspecting and repairing damaged parts of the dock. The likely cause of the sinking is a water pipe under the dock that burst, flooding the hollow compartments that keep the dock afloat. Repairs have also been made to the passenger ramp that was partially submerged, the electrical systems, and the vehicle ramp hydraulic system. To date, the salvage and repair costs have run about $500,000. Permanent repair work will be ongoing, but not affect ferry service, according to a press release from the Marine Highway System. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. If you'd like to read comments on our stories on Facebook, click on the Facebook link. You don't need a registration or login. And to have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, you can click on the Twitter link. Well, it's just about 8:01. This is KCAW Sitka. Stay tuned for Morning Edition from NPR. I'll be back with you at 18 minutes after the hour with a live local interview about National Bike to Work Week. I hope you can join us for that as well. It's 46 degrees in downtown Sitka under sunny skies, and sun is in the forecast for all our communities.